Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to your Concussion Talk podcast, episode 128. I'm Cassandra from the Newfoundland and Labrador Brain Injury Association, and my co-host Miriam. Today we'll be talking to Erica Norman. But first, just a little bit about the NL Brain Injury Association. You can find our website at www.nlbia.ca. You can also find us on Facebook at NL Brain Injury Association, Instagram at NL Brain Injury Association, and Twitter at InjuryNL. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
Concussion Talk Podcast is presented by HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges the gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck Health to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more.
Welcome to the show, Erica.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here.
So I understand you have a personal experience with brain injury. Do you mind sharing your story with us?
No, not at all. So 2017 in November, I was living in the United States. I was working as an engineer at the time, and I was going to the gym quite frequently. I love to stay on top of exercise. And I was just finishing my last little bit of my workout, and I heard a pop, what almost when I can reflect on was like, felt like if, you know, if you're like ear popped on an airplane type thing. I just felt a pop, and I didn't really think much of it. So I carried on, finished my last exercise. It was literally my last exercise, and I had gotten up to walk to the locker rooms, and all of a sudden, within I'd say a minute from the time I heard the pop, the room started spinning, and it started to spin more and more and more. I started to kind of lose my balance, but I recognized a guy that was at the gym quite frequently. Didn't quite know him, but like could recognize him. I kind of grabbed him by the arm. I was like, can you please help me? Can you take me to the chair over there, which was like the reception desk area? And so he helped me walk over. As I was walking over, the spinning was getting worse and worse. I noticed my left arm almost felt like it was trying to float away from my body. Like I kind of lost control of my left arm. So when I had gone over, then I started vomiting. Someone had given me a bucket, and I just couldn't stop vomiting. Everything was spinning so much that I couldn't stabilize anything anymore. I couldn't really see anybody. But I immediately told somebody, please call an ambulance. I knew something wasn't right. Someone called an ambulance, and by the time the ambulance showed up, I was able to tell them about my arm, but then I'd say 10 seconds into my conversation, my words were kind of going to like baby mumbles. I was kind of starting to lose my speech. And at that point, I knew I was having a stroke, but I couldn't really verbalize it anymore. So I just kind of started taking myself through some breathing exercises, calming myself down. I was like, if I panic right now, I think things are going to get worse. So the ambulance had brought me to an emergency department. Now in the States, the emergency departments are often separate from the hospital. So it was like a separate emergency department. I was there for quite some time. And all I really remember was the doctor coming over to me saying, I think you are having a severe episode of vertigo. I think your crystals are out. At that point, I couldn't really speak anymore, but I was vomiting so much. So I don't think he really recognized that I couldn't speak anymore. Just because I had a bucket in front of me the entire time. I remember there was a clock on the wall, and I knew I was going in and out of consciousness because the time was changing. Every time I opened my eyes, it was like a couple hours later. I think I was there for several hours. I remember they took me for a CT scan and they found a brain bleed in my cerebellum. So I had a stroke. I was rushed to the nearest hospital, unfortunately, was an hour away. So I was rushed to the nearest hospital in an ambulance. And I kind of lost everything. I think I went out of consciousness. I lost everything until I woke up in the OR. It was bright. And I remember just seeing what I was the neurosurgeon. I didn't know at the time, the doctor. And she was just kind of leaning over me. And to me, it was like when I opened my eyes, she had a big smile on her face, but it almost looked like she was crying. I think she kind of thought I was going, but thankfully I didn't. And then I was into the ICU for a week long in the States. And when I cleared out ICU for a week, my parents came and, well, they came while I was in ICU, but they helped me return home to Newfoundland. And a couple weeks later, I started my recovery at the Miller Center. So I found out when I was in the United States that I was born with an AVM, an arteriovenous malformation. And that was what they suspect was the pop that I had heard, that it had ruptured and I had a brain bleed. So I was, and that was in my cerebellum. Yeah.
Wow, that's quite the story. I'm sure during your recovery, you must have faced a lot of challenges and obstacles. Would you mind talking about those?
Absolutely. So I started when I came home, I started in a wheelchair just for a couple of days. And then my sister had kind of taken me in. She was off work at the time. So I stayed at my sister's place and she helped me a lot. And I then transitioned to a walker. And there was a couple weeks period in between where I had to wait to go to like physio at the Miller Center or like the outpatient program. And a very good friend of mine offered to help me. And so he's a physio and he, as soon as I met him, he was like, okay, today is the last day you are using your walker. So from there on out, I no longer use it. But one challenge when I was using my walker, I noticed a lot of people spoke to me almost like they had, recognized almost like a physical disability and spoke to me like I had a mental or emotional disability attached to that. So So that was a large struggle of mine. Of course, on top of that, losing your independence, I didn't realize how impacting that could be and how almost embarrassing it could be when somebody else needs to shower and bathe you during a period of time. So that was a big struggle. And what I've noticed was, despite the physical struggle, I think the emotional side of it was almost just as hard, you know? What other struggles I had? So some of my physical deficits, I had left side weakness and balance. So where it's the cerebellum, I had lost my coordination balance. And so I stumbled, I fell, and I had to build back that strength. But then as I started getting stronger, I started developing fear that it would happen again. I was like, well, there's an AVM there. What if it ruptures again? So that's when we went into communicating with doctors about, you know, following up with like radiation treatment and that type of thing. So I had gone through with a gamma knife radiation treatment. It was a one-time treatment. From my understanding, it was active for up to 4 years. And I had risks of brain swelling. I was told about a 20% chance roughly of brain swelling. However, unfortunately, I fell within that 20%. So I had a second episode of brain stem swelling that began early like January to February 2020. And that I think was harder than the stroke to begin with. It was a lot more slower recovery. It actually felt like symptoms were similar to a concussion patient. Not so much left side weakness, but I had a lot of other physical symptoms that was just a lot slower to work through. So I would go through rehab, but I didn't see the effects like I did the first time. So it was just almost unmotivating to do my rehab at times because I was like, well, before I did it and I saw these great gains, but this time I'm doing it and it's taking a lot longer to see what would be small gains. So that was the second time around was almost a little bit harder for sure.
It sounds like you definitely encountered a lot of obstacles during your recovery period. Is there anything that helped you through any of those challenges?
Meditating for sure was a big one. I started meditating with my second episode. I wish I had started it sooner, actually. But I remember with my second episode, I had bilateral INO. It was the first case within Newfoundland, and I was admitted into the hospital. That was a huge challenge. And I remember when I started meditating, because I couldn't see, and with the INO, your eyes don't quite coordinate together. So everything, like every time I moved my eyes, nothing would stabilize. So that was a huge emotional challenge for me. And I had no idea how long it would take for this to get better. Knowing the fact that I was the first case here, I was like, well, do they know how long this is going to take to get better? Am I going to get better? So I started meditating. And one time I spent, I think, almost 2 hours meditating and doing a lot of deep breathing. And when I opened my eyes after my meditation, I couldn't believe how much more clearly I could see. It made some sort of difference. I can't exactly say physiologically what that difference was, but there was a difference after that meditation period. And I'm still kind of shocked over it, even now being into the healthcare industry. I'm still kind of shocked that it had such an impact. But other than that, I had a huge support system I have a large family who often, you know, helped me a lot, and friends who helped me, encouraged me a lot of the times through my recovery and struggle. You know, I would say things, I can't do that. And a lot of the people around me kind of was like, Erica, stop. You have to try to do that. Sorry, I'm just thinking back and reflecting. Sometimes it can be emotional, but people were just so good to me and encouraging to help me through. Sorry.
No worries, you're good.
And I think about a lot of people out there who struggle and recover through something like this, and they don't have that support. So when I met Nick and I talked about trying to develop more of a support group and a support system for other people out there who are struggling in that type of way. And I think it's something that we're preliminarily discussing, but I think that we can make a huge difference in people's lives.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, no, I think having that family support, those friendships, supporting you through those hard times is so important. I know we had Michelle Plowman on who kind of talked about that as well, how important those supports are when you're going into the recovery. So we're going to kind of switch now, and we want to ask you about your educational background, where you studied, where you completed the education. So did you want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. So I went to Memorial University after high school, and I started engineering, and I graduated in 2015 with the mechanical engineering degree. I was really, like, in high school, I was really good at, like, you know, sciences, maths, things like that. I was good with numbers. Didn't quite, after high school, know what it was I wanted to do, but I said, well, I'm good at these courses, why don't I give this a shot? Through engineering, I really enjoyed the challenges, but realized towards the end, I don't know if this is quite for me. So that's when I decided to move. I moved to Houston, Texas. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. And so I worked in oil and gas in Houston, Texas. And I was there for a little while, but I was like, this is just still not my career path. It's not what I'm meant to do. So I struggled for a little while, and then I was like, okay, well, let's try a different area. So then I moved from Texas and I went to Indiana, and that's where I had my stroke. But I was taken on by an orthopedic like manufacturing company called Zimmer Biomet. And it was a clinical review consultant position, but they wanted an engineer who could understand their orthopedic systems, their knee, hip replacements, those type of systems from an engineering perspective. But I basically did a lot of like research, the clinical research on how those devices performed. During that time, they kind of helped me with anatomy courses to make sure I understood the body. And then the more I learned about the body, the more I was like, I really like the human body, and like learning about it. And so, but then I had my stroke, and then I came home and went through the recovery process. And I spent, as you can imagine, a long time in physio clinics working with people. And the physios, they were just so amazing at their job. And through the recovery, they were so supportive. And when it came time for discharge, and I started thinking, well, I can't go back to being an engineer. This wasn't for me. And I started thinking about, well, life is far too short to work through a job that you don't love, or to not be happy with what you're doing. And I recognized through my recovery that a lot of the times communicating with people, especially anyone really, I always would think, I just wish somebody understood what it meant. And I'm sure a lot of healthcare professionals understand, they study and they learn, but from a struggling perspective, I really wanted someone who understood, talking to somebody who understood. So I found a lot of times I was trying to explain things by putting them into like some type of analogy where someone could understand. So then when I started to recover, I was like, I think I really want to be a physio more than anything. I just want to be that person who understands struggle. And it doesn't mean their struggle has to be the same as mine, but somebody who knows what it's like to go through something so difficult. So then I applied to physio school in Scotland, and I was accepted, and I moved to Scotland in 2019, just a couple years after my recovery, it was only about 8 months after my recovery. And I went to school and I graduated in last year in 2021 with a master's in physiotherapy. So from there, now I work at TSL Physio here in town. And I love my job. I'm so happy, and it was the life change that I needed. And I'm so passionate about helping people and understanding their struggle, and we connect well. So that's my educational journey. But yeah, more than anything, my journey to finding the right path for me.
Yeah, that's really amazing that you're using your own personal experiences to kind of branch off into a career that you seem to really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So at your clinic, what kind of services do you provide at work?
So the clinic we work with, we see a large variety of people. I would say it's MSK dominant, but I definitely still work with patients in neuro rehab. I have a few patients of mine that come in to see me with neuro who have had strokes or brain injury. I have a couple patients from brain injury who are trying to learn how to walk and similar struggles to me. And more than anything, I think we connect so well because I can recognize I understand what they're going through. And I've noticed a lot of those patients feel like they can open up and maybe say some things that they would hide back and be like, oh, well, I don't think they'll understand this. So they don't vocalize how they're feeling or what they're feeling. And I find working with those patients or all patients, I get a high level of reward. But I see a lot of MSK, and I think it's really important for me, from my understanding, before I go and specialize in it into any area, I just want to make sure that I understand from an MSK perspective conditions. Like, because, you know, if I see a stroke patient in the future, they can still have their falls and hurt their shoulder and things like that, right? So I wanted to make sure that I understood the all the MSK side of things. But on top of that, we see a lot of people in the clinic with pelvic health. So a lot of moms come in with pelvic pain or discomfort, low back pain. So we see a large variety of people in the clinic.
Yeah, it sounds like you bring your own personal experiences with brain injury into your practice in physiotherapy, which is really great to hear. So if a client was to come in, is there any intake requirements to any of your services or anything that they might need to know?
No, we normally, you know, we normally start from day one. They'll, you know, of course, fill out their intake forms and things like that. Usually forms may be specific to certain conditions, so we may ask, you know, what they're coming in for. But for the most part, you know, we have a administrative staff and kinesiologists on staff who really help with making sure people have the tools that they need before coming to the clinic. So they work with people right from the start. So nothing specific, more than anything, bring yourself. That's what's most important, because, you know, early conversations are good. And sometimes just having that conversation and getting the ball rolling is the key to starting. So yeah, more than anything, just bring yourself.
I know you mentioned that you see a wide variety of different clients and injuries. Is there anything that you find that is common?
Absolutely. More than anything, low back pain I see a lot. And we have a wonderful, one of the owners at the clinic, she's wonderful. She knows low back and pelvis quite well. And she's really helped mentor me into understanding the pelvis. And I think, if anything, it was more mind opening to understand how the pelvis works and how it affects on the low back and how it affects on, you know, knee pain, ankle pain, and how it works its way down the chain or works its way up the chain. So we see a lot of like low back and pelvic conditions at the clinic. But yeah, more than anything, and I'd love to see athletes too. I also work with Carl English's Basketball Academy as well. So we see a lot of ankle sprains. Well, I do, just because athletes are coming in with their ankle sprain or their knee injured or, you know, hurt their hip or back from a fall, that type of thing. So there is just a large variety of conditions. And it seems like the biggest one is low back and pelvic pain for most people.
So I'm sure you've seen a lot of different conditions and treated a lot of different patients. Is there any positive outcomes from specific treatments that you've seen that you've provided that have kind of made your day?
God, yes, absolutely. When someone feels better leaving the clinic, I go home happy. And we always set goals right from day one. So I've definitely seen specifically one brain injury and neuro patient who brings me a lot of self-reward. You know, this patient wanted to get back to hiking again and cycling again and playing the piano. And we've gotten, over the last few weeks, we've gotten through hiking and cycling. He was a brain injury patient who kind of presented similar to a stroke. And we said, okay, we were going to set some goals of getting back to the activities that that patient wanted to do. And so back to hiking and cycling already, and we're working on the piano bit. That's a lot more like, you know, fine detail, fine motor, dexterity work. So it's taken a little bit more. But when the patient comes in and tells me that I went for a bike ride yesterday, I never thought that I was going to do that yet. Or I went for a hike with my friends. I had no idea I would do this already. That means so much to me. I'm so passionate about wanting people to have a good, healthy, active quality, like positive quality of life. So that means so much to me. The bigger picture about getting out and doing the things you love, and not so much did we say goodbye to your pain. It's more about, well, what are you doing now that brings you good quality of life? And that means a lot to me. That gives me a lot of self-reward.
Yeah, it's really great to see how passionate you are about the work you do. So lastly, we just wanted to ask if you have any social media pages or websites for your clinic, contact information that you wanted to share with any of the listeners that might be interested.
Absolutely. So I'm at TSL Physio on White Rose Drive. There are two locations, one in Churchill Square, but I'm mainly at the one at White Rose Drive. But more than anything, we will try to accommodate people as best we can. So TSL Physio has a Instagram page, and it's TSL Physio. I have a personal Instagram page, but I also have a training page as well, where it's enorman.pt, and that's an Instagram page that I recently started and hoping to do more with. But my personal Instagram page is Erica Norman_, and that's E-R-I-C-A, Norman_. I haven't started a Facebook page just yet. I'm hoping to get to that sometime. Sometimes when you're busy and doing so much, it's hard to keep up with social media. I'm on Facebook as well, but it's not like a professional page for me yet on Facebook. But those would be my Instagram pages that I mainly will use.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. It was really great to hear your story.
Oh, thank you so much. I apologize for sometimes being emotional about it, but I think if anything, it shows my passion and the realness and the genuineness around the struggle involved.
It definitely does, for sure.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you ladies and have a great chat, and hopefully we can chat soon.
Yes, we'd love that for sure. And I'd just like to thank Nick for letting me and Miriam take over his podcast for the month of June. We had a great time, and unfortunately this is our last one, but we hope you guys all enjoyed. So thank you so much for tuning in with us.
Yep, and we, once again, we have another ABLE next week. So if anyone's interested, come to those.
Thank you so much to Cassandra and Miriam for being great hosts this month. And thank you, of course, to Michelle, Ashley, Jake, and Erica for being on the podcast. And please follow this podcast wherever you get your podcast and on a Good Pods app. And please subscribe, rate, and review. And more importantly, please consider donating to the Newfoundland Labrador Brain Association, the NLBIA, at nlbia.ca. Thank you so much, and I'll have a new podcast out next week, July 5th. Music at the beginning of this podcast is by Ben Sound, www.bensound.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.